This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Hello.
Hello.
You're listening to Wavelength, and that gasp you heard was the gasp of William English. And the reason he's gasping is because he is somewhere where he needs to absorb a lot of air, and that unfortunately isn't the space that this radio show is being recorded in. There isn't a huge amount of air because where are we, Dan?
We're in a very damp and quite stuffy room.
Question, is a room still a room if the room doesn't have a door, or is it a space?
That is a good question. I think it's still a room because it's got its own acoustic. That's very much a room, I think.
But a huge hall has an acoustic sound, and that does is seen as a space rather than a room.
Only because it's dark.
So this is the type of conversation you're going to hear on this special takeover show that Dan and I are taking over.
Yeah, we're taking over because William he's given us carte blanche to do what we want. And that brings us on to actually what we'll be talking about, which is your forte, which is collaborative songwriting, not necessarily face-to-face. It's very much something that's come about or been perfected during the pandemic. Although you've been doing it for quite a while now, this chain composition idea.
Yes. And actually, I think most of us have been collaborating in different ways for a while, but this mode of collaboration I first did was with you actually at the beginning of COVID, when we were challenged by a friend of mine. He messaged me and said, "Hey, Sam, there's a project that's happening to create a compilation of collaborations between people or groups that will be remote compositions. So someone starts something, sends it someone else, or however one likes to work."
And wasn't this to raise money for the NHS at the time as well?
It was to raise money for PPE, I think, which I thought, remember thinking at the time, well, taxpayer money maybe should be paying for PPE rather than like small time compilation.
And an old man at the time was walking up and down his garden also to raise money for PPE. It's a very strange situation.
Yes. Maybe it would be cool to play the composition that the two of us made, and then we can kind of unpack it and speak about the process and the joy and benefits of kind of low stakes collaboration.
And also very quickly made as well. It felt like we didn't have much time.
I mean, I think that should be one of the key tenets of that type of work, that it is rapid, that there isn't a huge amount of time, and it's more kind of instinctive and not so heady.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not
energy
or kind of intellectual quality or artistic quality there. It's just a means to create and not pontificate.
That's a good way of putting it. So let's have a listen then.
Yes. This is
Oh, I should say if it sounds out of tune, it's because it is. It uses a harmonic tuning system and
Okay, here it is.
Eating the special on a boat when suddenly you choke and your farm was in your throat. A remnant of the soul as it spills upon the deck, you remind.
That track was but I thought it was maybe it was a bit pitched too low for your singing voice. So I actually made another version, which is pitched up a bit more with a brighter sound. But it didn't get into the cut because we were actually on the deadline. So it never got in.
Though just before we play Dan's alternate version that he prefers, I want to say that I think the that did make the record, which we should mention was called Music Over Distance, if you still wish to support it.
Yeah, and, on Bandcamp.
On Bandcamp.
And there's about 20 tracks, isn't there? And ours is the shortest, I think.
Yes. Here's the other version. Here's the other version. Here's the other version. Here's the other version.
Here's the other version. Was part two, the unreleased version. Maybe we can talk a bit about the chain composition process, because how it worked in that instance was you sent me a number of snippets of unrealized experiments, and it's possible to breathe new life into them. If you place things together, mix things in certain ways, you can use it as a seed to build new pieces.
Yeah, I think for me, what I really like about this idea of chain composition is you kind of have a seed of an idea that you don't necessarily know how to develop beyond it, or you really feel that the ability and ideas of someone else could really benefit it. So with I just kind of had this low rumbling, I don't know, sub-bassy, what would you describe that
as? It was very lo-fi. It was like an earth hum over some sticks and a very bassy drum loop going.
Yeah.
And that formed not only the harmonic bass of the piece, but also the rhythm. And on top of that was another piece you sent, which was then pitch shifted to fit in with that sample. And then obviously I added the harmonic stringed instrument. And then you added the vocals on top of that. And it was going along really well until we realized that the deadline was the same day.
But I think that's where you and I differ on this. I don't see that as a problem. I see that actually as just kind of a useful stop on working on that and actually an opportunity to work on something else.
Yeah, maybe it was meant to end there. Maybe that's all there was to go in it.
From my perspective, is done and I'm ready to collaborate on other pieces, which is something I looked to do with you, but we didn't kind of get there with many more, but fortunately, I did find some collaborators that I kind of stumbled into working with through just kind of reaching out to Phoebe.
Was this during the lockdown period too?
Yeah, this was maybe like the beginning of this year. Someone like I worked with had made a podcast that I really liked and reached out and started speaking to them about that. And she told me with her friend Emily that they liked to send each other stuff and build on it. And she asked if I had anything to send. So I sent her this very short little piece called Tractor, which is just this kind of bubbling along kind of, I'm such a poor describer.
Can we hear the original elements before you play the track?
Yeah, let's hear a bit of Tractor, and then you can hear kind of what it then developed in when it went to Phoebe, who added some vocals to it, and then Emily also contributed, I think, potentially to this, and I then took it back and added something to it, and it became this greater piece. So I'll play a bit of Tractor, and then you can hear Tractor Wave to see how it evolved going through the different people.
Frothy.
Yeah, so this kind of just repeats this loop, basically. this is what Phoebe received. Oh, and I should also mention that what we ended up at, I did submit to a kind of, what's you call it? It's kind of like a, not, it's not a competition because there's no competitive element, but it's called Audio Playground. Have you heard of it?
No.
There's an audio producer, musician, Sarah Geis, who has a monthly newsletter that encourages people to just create with a invitation based to use certain elements or to think, okay, tell a message to you 10 years ago in sound in a minute and use these elements. And
this reminds me of one of those Facebook data aggregators that just say, what was your best memory in your life? And they aggregate all the data and it's like an audio version of it.
But the point is you create what you want and interpret it and use the elements. And the idea is it's completely low stakes and just gets you making something and not kind of thinking about it. So I kind of used this for that. And then from this, we...
And what happens then? You submit this or...
You submit them and Sarah puts them on their website and they live there, or you don't need to submit them, I guess. You could just have them as like, well, I made something that day that was felt good, as opposed to thinking that everything you need to make needs to be some hugely thought out project.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What's the website then for this?
I think it's audioplayground.xy in American terms, Z. So XYZ for us.
Okay.
But there's you get the emails, you just sign up for an email, and then every month you get an invitation to make, which doesn't cost anything.
That's quite good. That sounds a bit like, also there's a group called the Electronic Music Philosophy Group, and every month or so they do a competition. Not competition, again I'm saying competition, I'm thinking in terms of competitiveness. This is low stakes personal development almost. They have incentives to do pieces based on, for instance, feedback or the concept of resonance or the concept of rattling a word, basically, and contributors follow up on that particular thing. So it's good that these things are spurring on.
Did you want to mention the sound in this room, by the way, Dan, in case that listeners can hear?
It's a kind of intermittent, how would you describe it? It's like someone with a pepper grinder or something.
It's a potluck of sounds. The building comes and each room comes with its own kind of offering of strange sounds and sights.
Yeah.
And we promised you to hear how that evolved once Phoebe and Emily got involved. So here's
Tractor.
Tractor becoming Tractor Wave.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
That's nice.
Thank you, Dan.
It ends nicely. You've expert of doing very cozy pieces. That's a very cozy piece, that one. So Phoebe is one of your collaborators, and she's provided the vocals on that, presumably. And Are they processed in any way? It's quite interesting production there. You've got a mix of... I suppose that's the nature of collaboration. It all melds into one in the end. You've got a single piece of audio where there's no ownership anymore on the...
Exactly. And I don't necessarily, unless I ask, know what they did, because you're not getting necessarily stems back. You're just getting something, a stereo file that's pre-baked, I would call it.
Yeah.
So really there isn't a send it back and to the waiter and get something changed. You get back what they add to it, and then you either decide, oh, there's something more I want to add, or...
But you're using destructive editing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I just wanted to mention maybe some of the aspects of this kind of chain, and maybe we called it chain, maybe that's something that Phoebe or Emily, who's the other person I collaborate with in this WhatsApp group sending each other stuff, called the group chain. But I think it's an apt term for the type of production. You know, it's collaborative, there's very low stakes, you're uninhibited if you're working with people that you feel comfortable with and also inspired by. It's creative, it's experimental, and yeah, I just really enjoy it.
It is like it may sound poppy to some people, but there's an experimental spirit for driving these pieces, and that's always something I found quite interesting in your work. You also record under the name Kalu, don't you?
And just quickly to touch on the experimental bit, I mean, obviously what you make is a product of the people you're collaborating with, so maybe Phoebe, Emily and I are inclined to melody and more than we are in terms of like
abstract
discordant kind of but the concept of kind of building upon someone else's work or output, I think, can apply to any aesthetic.
I just mentioned that particularly because if we're quiet we can hear that noise again in the room. I just mentioned that because listenability, William English, the usual host of Wavelength, is a structuralist filmmaker with a structuralist background who veers towards abstract and the experimental, as well as pigeonholing him a bit there. Actually, that's not necessarily.
We do make some pieces that I think are a bit more like sonically challenging. I don't know if that's like an apt term for it, but perhaps I can play a couple more that we've worked on together, just building on each other's stuff.
Yeah, let's hear them then.
This first one I'll play is called Mark Yourself Safe, and this is Phoebe sent me a recording of her singing and playing the guitar, and I kind of warped it into this.
Was this recorded during any major event? Mark Yourself Safe is a kind of byword for social media fallout from real world events.
That's true. That would be a question we need to put to Phoebe, and we can do that. You can write to us at Sam and Dan, care of William English, Wavelength Show.
No, wait. Unidentified
location.
Yeah.
Borough.
Yep.
London. SE1.
Not even one.
Just SE1, as in one world. Just send it into the ether, and we'll find it. I will ask Phoebe and get back to you.
I'm not listening.
It. It's actually quite soundtracky. It reminds me of the TV soap opera Casualty, which is set in a hospital, and they're trying to go a bit arty recently. A lot of the intros are quite, you know, ambitiously done. The interesting camera work, very interesting sonic effects as well. The kind of sonification of out-of-body experiences. You know, it's aiming for higher things. It's not just a daytime drama or evening drama.
Yeah, I was a big Casualty fan, actually, when I was younger. It was quite gripping. Before I think I discovered ER.
The American ER. Then House, which is the peak.
House I never got into. Is that Hugh Laurie?
Yeah. That's, once you've got House, you kind of, everything looks a bit amateur after that.
But I'm definitely curious to watch Casualty now and see how they're treating these scenes, because
it's usually in the first 5 minutes they do something that quite grips you, and it's very I actually feel like that's a bad comparison. It's almost demeaning to your artistry, you and Phoebe's artistry on that track. Actually, I shouldn't compare it to an evening soap opera. It's a standalone work.
I'll take it. I'm just on Casualty, obviously famously the theme tune was sampled by Oxide Neutrino Bound for the Reload.
Good memory.
Classic garage, a kind of precursor to grime. Yep, so that was Phoebe sending a piece that was acoustic guitar, I imagine, and her singing, and then I kind of took the parts that I felt I wanted to use to build on it.
Do we have the result of that?
Well, that is that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sorry.
So there's further cycles possible, aren't
there? Yes, 100%. This was a very limited...
A small chain
of two.
Okay.
Subsequently, we next... that was Dan, I think, squashing a fly?
Sorry, it's a fly in here. We're in a... Yeah, it's quite a makeshift studio.
Poor fly.
It's annoying. It's landing on our food. We've got you know, cashews here and revels. What's coming up next, you're saying?
What's coming up next is a theme tune that was composed for a series I was looking to make with a friend in Berlin, which would consist of her going around different neighborhoods recording kind of guides to those neighborhoods, and I kind of piece them together. But I felt like what this thing needs is a theme tune, so I wrote a song, a very rudimentary song, although who's to say what's rudimentary? I mean, it's just, it was the fitting piece for this project. It's called Robin's Guide to Berlin. Recorded this, sent it to Phoebe. Phoebe kind of added some lovely vocal.
So was this part of an to introduce an audio piece she was working on herself then, like under some official...
The Guide to Berlin?
Yeah.
No, it was more just an idea the two of us came up with when talking on the phone, that, oh, you know, you seem to know a lot about Berlin. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on different neighborhoods. Why don't you kind of walk around with your phone and record yourself?
It's interesting how you and your collaborators, there's always ideas bubbling. With me, it's just like I have to strain them sometimes.
But they're never kind of groundbreaking ideas. They're more just ideas that provide me, maybe, or hopefully the other person with a bit of joy.
That's the interesting thing, though. They're the bubbles and the seeds which form, and through collaboration and chain composition, become larger structural pieces, more imposing and more...
I think they have potential to, but they don't necessarily. So we had this grand idea of doing, you know, in my mind, it could be tons of neighborhoods, but actually having done the one, I feel like I fulfilled that.
Yeah.
But the theme tune, recorded this song, Phoebe added something to it, and then unbeknownst to me, decided to make an alternative version with a completely different melody. And then Emily took this on and added her own additions, including some kind of walking sounds and some vocal harmonies. So we're going to play both of the pieces, the original that Phoebe added onto mine, and then the version that actually I'm not part of the production at all beyond writing the words. It's just Emily and Phoebe.
Okay, one after the other.
Yes.
We're on a quest to discover the city, and a friend will help us uncover all the magic that lives within. Through Robin's Guide to Berlin, oh yeah, there's so much to know, and oh yeah, no one better to show us all the magic that lives within. Through Robin's Guide to Berlin.
We run a quest to discover the city and a friend will help us uncover.
So yes, that's Robin's Guide to Berlin.
But hang on a moment, there's two different versions of the Guide to Berlin there. So, and the one we just heard was very different, much more haunting. And your one is much more jingle. That's like nice. It's almost like a Joe Meek production, actually. I like that kind of lo-fi drums going on and things. And then you've got this almost inappropriate one here, which I can't imagine being used, well, inappropriate for a Guide to Berlin, because it's quite tragic almost.
Agreed. I think that that's the beauty, that the Guide to Berlin was not commissioned by the Berlin Tourist Board or anything like that. It was just a little project in a similar vein to this.
A bubbling idea again.
Indeed.
Bubbling ideas seems to be a theme of your work. You bubble ideas constantly, it seems, with other people as well. And it's interesting to see these kind of things that wouldn't normally be broadcast almost. These are quite obscurities that are being bubbling just almost at the pre-production stage.
I think I understand what you mean. I think there's something actually really lovely about giving works that they can be considered finished, but they're also just kind of works in progress, permanent works in progress. They're kind of iterations of ideas. And we together worked on that Picasso project, and a big part of the podcast was about
You and me.
You Dan and me, Sam.
At the Tate.
We did,
I was thinking, who else has worked on Picasso with you?
But this idea that that kind of one doesn't come up with an instantly finished product, that you kind of develop your kind of creative voice through collaboration, through iteration. And I think that showing these ideas and things in progress, one not only like demystifies that things need to be kind of instantly a masterpiece, but also gives like value to the workings and the kind of the beauty in the imperfect or the kind of in progress. And I really value that as much as kind of creating some super polished final thing.
It's almost the opposite of what the commercial world operates on, which is product needed, product required, employee, job done. That's it.
Yeah.
And here you've got the in-between, you've got all the nuances of the progress, the journey, and the inspirational process. So what's next?
What's next is another chain piece, but this one features actually something from Dan as well as Phoebe, myself, and Emily.
So this is like a three, another multiple person collaboration.
Indeed. This is, I think, something that I was sent again by Phoebe that I wanted to build upon. And I'm not sure how this happened, but I came upon some drums that you had recorded in school, I think, outside a drum room.
Yes. I always had a tape recorder with me, but in 1999, I bought a Boss Doctor 202 sampler, which had a built-in microphone, and it recorded onto flash memory, like a very early smartphone type recording device. So it didn't have any moving mechanical parts on it. You could get very clear samples. And I was just recording someone playing the drums behind the drum room door at school. And it's forever unknown who was playing these drums, but it had a nice echo in the stairwell. And I think I sent it to you just as an example. Why we were talking about equipment, actually, the Boss Doctor sampler being an interesting early flash memory sample-based recording device with a built-in mic. And I seem to remember you doing something preliminary with it, like an instrumental, and cutting it up and using the beat. But I haven't heard what you've done since then or with the further elaborations on it.
Yes, well, you'll be able to hear it along with the listeners, because we're going to play Change with Phoebe singing and some guitar playing, Dan's recorded drums.
Did you cut out every beat and resequence them all?
The drums, I think, were all cut up and then resequenced.
Okay.
Phoebe was cut up and resequenced and mangled. Everyone just goes through the Sam meat grinder.
The recycling process.
Recycling process is better than meat grinder.
Sounds horrible, actually.
I don't want to think about this stuff going through a meat grinder.
It's being regrown. It's like a new rebirth of audio. Okay, yes. Well, I'm curious to hear it.
This is wind or rain, or maybe I thought change, and it needs to have some kind of like weather element to it.
Okay, was this a field recording that you made yourself, or is this something Emily introduced?
I'm not sure Emily had a part in this, but oh. I imagine, yes, I know, terrible. But the next one, Emily is very much involved, because it is based off a kind of piano motif that she sent and was keen for it to be built upon.
I have a question. When you're exchanging these files, are they through like a messenger system, when you can also add comments, or is it just an email thing?
It's a WhatsApp thing. So it's, here's something, anyone want to build on it? And then you take it and do something with it, or you don't, or you say, like in the case of this piece, yes, I will for a month or something, until you get to that moment where it's like, now I really feel like doing something and I've got an idea.
Yeah.
The nice thing about this is when we introduce these pieces to build upon, there's a voice message attached saying, I've got this idea. And in this one, I liked the idea of incorporating that into the piece. So you can hear this idea, or part of the idea of, I want to do this from Emily. And even the kind of, I added in the beeps from when you play a WhatsApp message. The beeps, so you'll really get the sense. I think this one really embodies the chain, because it has the three of us in there, and it has the request in there.
And the process itself is
very meta. It's the most, well, not very meta, the most meta of our kind of chaining, I think.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone is well. I've been working on some piano-y stuff, and there's a bit of the composition that I really like, which is these chords going. And we can see.
Oh, nice. The WhatsApp sound. It's interesting how you put on a pedestal these nuggets that are very ephemeral, very throwaway things that are never intended to be showcased in this way, like voice messages and almost bits of fun, like answer phone things, and elevating them into this, into kind of musical score. I was going to say it's a very digital thing, but actually I can hear it. Actually, there was an acoustic piano in that one, wasn't there? That sounded more like an upright piano involved. But how do people feel when you incorporate their throwaway messages, which aren't necessarily meant to be placed in songs, Is it all very amenable, or is it just the way it goes with the process?
I think because we only really share them with each other predominantly, that there isn't a risk of...
Are they supposed to be aired on this wavelength even then?
Well, I think if anyone had any objections to them, they would have voiced those.
We've got a nice platform, I think, with wavelength. It's quite niche. There's not necessarily mega exposure involved.
Just on incorporating voice messages, I think there's something really lovely about the non-contrived nature of like voice messages not kind of lyrics that are written out and kind of anguished over.
There's
no self-consciousness, and there's a real kind of organic beauty.
Good, very good. So the chain process, these were very short pieces as well. Is that something that accompanies the process of chain composition, that it just ends up being quite high density, nuggets that never go beyond 2 minutes?
I think like the audio playground assignments and what we did with for the compilation, that if you're looking to produce at speed and the key thing you're looking to get from the creation is not some kind of like vision realized, but more the exercise of just making and collaborating, that length is not the key tenet of the production. So that's predominantly why they end up, and also you just have limited time and making longer things by virtue of it being longer. Even if you don't labor it, takes longer.
That's interesting. So this brings us on to another of your techniques, which is something I think the surrealists introduced in art, the exquisite corpse. I need to look on Wiki to remind myself what the hell is an exquisite corpse.
I mean, I think of exquisite corpse, I imagine it was born out of kind of surrealist composition, but I haven't actually seen the work of established artists producing exquisite corpse. I think of them as something that we did when you're a child. Someone draws a head, you have a tiny bit of the...
You've just got a small bit
to go on. So you don't know what's really above, and then you kind of draw whatever you like after that, and then you fold the paper again and you give someone else to kind of do the final third. And then when you kind of unfurl the whole thing, you have this generally relatively surreal image, but also a kind of really cool collaboration between three people.
And also a kind of unity to it as well, because it's all joined up by these bits that you could almost see.
Exactly. And I kind of liked the idea maybe over 10 years ago of transposing that into the sonic realm.
Yeah, that's how I kind of understood exquisite corpsing in sound, as when you can just have a semblance of what's gone before and you can elaborate on that. So if it's a word, for instance, and someone said... Coca-Cola, then you could begin on that theme. Or if it's a note or a chord, you can continue in that key and maybe progress it somewhere else. So how does it work in your systems then, or how do you have any examples to show us of this process at work?
Yeah, the first time I tried to do it was 2010, and I started with maybe a sentence and then asked a number of people to create their own sentence that was inspired by the last word or the last couple of words heard by the preceding person. So for example, if I say, Dan, I'm going to walk to the park and I'm going to eat some pies, you would start your sentence with pies.
Okay.
And the curiosity is, when this is all pieced together, what kind of sonic joy is there?
Is there a story that you can follow?
Exactly. And funny you mentioned stories, because I called this piece in 2010 40 stories.
As in stories and buildings?
I think I was...
like a multi-story car park. Stories.
Stories, the stories we tell each other, as opposed to kind of stories in a floor. But you could think of them as stories in a floor all compacted together.
Yeah, yeah. Has this ever been published anywhere or exposed or played before?
I think played in front of a class that I made this for, but not played beyond that.
It's its first airing, wider airing then.
Yeah.
There are 8 million stories without time to listen, but now we hear all of them.
People disgust me.
On my own, and me with my friends.
Support.
In all its forms, is vital to the community.
Planning and family services.
It's not a beginning of any sentences.
Belong to no one.
Should run a marathon whilst moderately intoxicated.
The new eau de toilette.
Which of course in French means toilet. However, in Polynesian it means the bat without any wings.
Can be drawn using little M's, of course.
Fur like on donkeys and goats. And, gorillas.
Massive, stinking, neglected, swollen scrotal sac with...
Practice. You will learn to bring a meditative state of mind to every activity.
It's when I used to play netball at school.
It was pointless, and then it was over, and then I came here.
It's a guy with a wefa t-shirt.
It's the new kind of love.
I think of snogging, kissing, and naughty things.
Fall apart, and sometimes it's impossible to put them back together again.
The Rusnevold are fantastic.
It was, but whereas others had come to see...
Spot, run,
and jump. Skip and walk.
Down south.
Equals warmth, equals home, equals not Maine.
Road that led up to.
The only place she could go when the sun was shining.
I hate that word.
It's not the most important things we can use to express ourselves.
And only ourselves can make this happen.
Last night, when I was going to bed, the things were a bit cloudy for me.
Also capoeira.
It's a Brazilian thing that you do.
Do you want to explain to me what all this is about?
Nothing.
Gets right whenever I'm late for my shift.
Date nothing but a number. I gotta go because this shift's got my number.
You might actually recognize a few of those voices, Dan. There's the last person you heard was Radio 5 DJ Dr. Adebayo, who I'd kind of become friendly with, and also John Wynn, who I believe you know and is a friend of Wavelength.
I don't know him personally, but I know he's been on Wavelength a few times. So that was an interesting mix of people and audio qualities as well. When did you do that one?
That one was around 2009-10, so my first Sonic Exquisite Corpse.
Okay, so that's your first outing into kind of circuit bending of people into a single audio piece. How did you proceed from these early experiments?
I didn't really develop this idea for a number of years, but in 2019, I started working with a group of young people with experience of mental ill health. And within this podcast, I wanted to experiment with this idea of creating another Sonic Exquisite Corpse. But adding to that, I wanted to introduce them to basic ideas of sound design and use of Foley. So we did the same thing with the Exquisite Corpse, but then also I brought in some relatively primitive and limited sound-making objects that we then used to score the piece. So I thought I'd play that for you as well.
Under the sea, under the sea, life is so great when you're with us under the sea.
The inoculation of the view, the packaging on the tobacco these days, extreme, like a face tattoo. It is easy to get it, whether in or out of a three-piece suit. It is very easy to do, as cloudy and vague as cigarette smoke in the eyes.
I like ice cream and to go to the park, take a walk, and sit down and go to the ocean side to see fish.
So fish could be all different sizes, different colours, ocean. Imagine fish are people.
Everywhere, always talking. I don't know why. Leave me alone. Please stop.
Stop judging people before you get to know them. Stop. Stop bullying. Stop harassing people in the street. Stop being violent. Stop being greedy. Stop being a bad person.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say, so I'm just going to ramble and ramble and ramble and ramble and ramble.
ramble and run through the park, through the bushes. There's too many nettles that are pricking my legs.
I'm a little crab under the sea.
E for echo. The sounds of the cries down many a school hall for somebody about to get beaten.
Beating up potatoes to make mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are good because they taste really nice. And it's one of my favorite foods.
Foods keep your energy going. Foods can be all different sizes. Foods can be different portions and different types.
Types of different flavors, types of different cars, types of different teams, types of different cities, types of different colors, types of different music.
Music was my favorite topic in school. You could call me a music kid if you like, music addict, yeah. I loved it. I still do. Don't tell anyone.
Anyone can talk into a microphone except me because I'm too shy.
Shyness is something that can definitely be overcome, and exercises like this hopefully can help enable that.
That was very interesting. In fact, it didn't have the same vibe as your earlier pieces there. The production is much more crisp and immersive on there, but also because it throws open the project much wider from just a group in a circle of people to the community as well. It sounds like quite an engaging project.
Yeah, exactly. So I think one of the things that makes that maybe a bit more cohesive is it's done in real time. So everyone recorded in the same space because they were at a class within this class I was teaching. So they would come out of the booth and tell each other what the last word they said was. And then the next one would go in. So they're all recording on the same mic. It all happens within the same hour. And then the class the following week, we listened back and we scored in real time these different parts, and I kind of edited them together. So
that's
much
really
more cohesive and actually much more of a collective
endeavor. It becomes
endeavor.
When you start scoring it, it elevates it from a piece of spoken word to suddenly it becomes a kind of almost symphonic piece, because you've got the element of composition behind it as well, which is formed through this seed, really, this seed of ideas that then grow into this form, composition form, which can then be dubbed and folied with extra material. So, what's next, Sam?
Well, I thought to round off this hour of talking about ways of collaborating with people. So we spoke about chain composition and now exquisite corpses.
They're kind of linked, aren't they?
Very much so, I think. There's this idea of like collaborative work, but also...
Did you think that the chain composition is a kind of stacking up in time of like multi-storied layers, and exquisite corpsing is almost the other axis, kind of horizontal stories, as in storyboarding, which goes out horizontally. So you got one stacking vertically on top of the other, and the other one is being drawn out like a thread into time.
Yes, I was wondering where you're going with that, but I really like that analogy. I think it's really apt. One is definitely vertical and one is horizontal. And I wanted to finish with a very much a horizontal piece, but horizontal doesn't mean it's not dynamic and have kind of waves to it, but definitely it goes from left to right or right to left, as opposed to bottom to top.
Well, the inspiration is drawn out horizontally in time.
Indeed. Speaking of time, actually, so the piece is called The Joy of 18, and this was made...
Oh, I remember this. Yes. This was one of the standout short pieces in the Resonance fundraising week of February 2020?
No, I think it was a bit later than that. It was just for to celebrate Resonance's
18th birthday.
So I reckon it was around May 2020, within COVID times. So my thought here was Resonance is turning 18. What can I give Resonance in terms of a piece? Mm. What about people's recollections of being 18 and what brought them joy at that time? So employed the same compositional method of starting it and then asking people to riff off the last couple of words of the previous person. And I think this is the most successful iteration of this idea so far. And then you, of course, provided a lovely score to it.
Yes, a harmonic drift, which I didn't actually think that you were going to use. I can't remember how it panned out, but you were asking for any drone, any beds that would work. And I thought something like this, maybe. I thought that would inspire you to then compose your own piece. But you ended up using that exact piece. And hearing it with the words, I just thought, yeah, it was quite a successful link, I think. Quite emotional, because it was quite a nostalgic, dreamy sound that really immersed you in the whole narratives.
I think earlier we were speaking about being limited by time, perhaps, and I didn't have a huge amount of time to compose something.
That leads to quite spontaneous decisions.
Exactly. Well, and I also have so much admiration for your ability that I knew that you probably had something in your arsenal that would be 10 times better than anything I could compose, even if I had a lifetime to do it. And I think it came out really well. And I would say, let's sign off. If anyone's interested in hearing these pieces in their entirety or hearing them again, they're available on my website, kalou.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Dan, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, Sam.
This is The Joy of 18 from 2020 for Resonance's 18th birthday. My most joyful memory of being 18 was making music. I was writing songs, I had bought a secondhand cheap drum machine, and I couldn't even program it, so I was playing 3-minute songs with the drums, doing it live. And I was working my first job, and while working, I was secretly listening to recordings, and it was just so much fun thinking about
what I was going to do next. Was get on a plane at Gatwick, I think, to go on a trip, which was the first time I left the country on my own. And I remember waving goodbye to my parents, and what descended on me was a great sense of freedom and
excitement. Is the thing I most remember about getting out into a rowing shell for the first time. Being up before dawn was tough, but being on the water as the sun rose over the river and set it to steaming, and hearing the riggers knock and the oar blades slice into the water, I close my eyes and I can go there. Even now, even today, all these
years later, when I think back to being 18, the thing that brought me most joy was a really simple thing. I was one of the first ones of my mates to get a car and actually legally able to drive, and I live in Bournemouth. So one of the things that brought me the most joy was driving along the seafront with a car for my mates, with my sunroof open, and listening to absolutely terrible music, almost as loud as I could. It was
absolutely fantastic. When I was 18, my friends and I found out that Bob Dylan was playing a show at a local university. And so, of course, we rushed out and got tickets, and we got to the show super early, so we were front and center. And it just felt very exciting to be at a show without our parents and on the road driving. And ultimately, it wasn't the best musical experience, but we were 10 feet away from our musical icon and hero. And that
felt very exciting when I was 18 and I would go all the way to Chinatown to get bubble tea. I would go to Tenren on Mott, and I would just get like a black bubble tea, and it was just so amazing. It was very sweet, and I would get like a really large size for probably an outrageous amount of money and drink it within like 5 minutes, and then I would proceed to walk home back to
Soho, destination unknown, ruby Soho. 18 years old, I was so deeply into punk and oi, it just controlled my thoughts and my movements and my dreams. And I'm glad I had it, but when I look back, I just kind of shake
my head and laugh when I think back to all the weird things I used to do with portable tape recorders and dictaphones. At 18, I used to carry a dictaphone around with me everywhere, and I'd record all kinds of sounds and dramas. And I think it gradually ostracized me from everyone else because it became a bit of an obsession.
if nothing interesting was happening, I'd often stamp my feet and cause things to happen, like interfere with public utilities, light switches, thermostats, yelping, and throwing handfuls of pins and nails into public toilets or gymnasiums. And it was a process of acoustic discovery. But now that I think back to it, it's quite a weird
thing to do, to think back to so long ago when I was 18 and thinking about, you know, what I was doing. So I essentially was just out of uni, fresh, open to the world, learning new things, especially being in East London, going through the transition that it did, especially Hackney, with all the diversity and how more of it is coming through and starting to establish itself. And just going with the flow, just enjoying the motions
of it. Being 18, there's a lot of ups and downs, but when I think about the joy in my life at that time, I think a lot about the friendships I had. That last year in sixth form college, just knew so many people, both in my own year and the year below, and there just seemed like a constant stream of people to hang out with. So it was really the friends around me that I hung out with brought me the most joy and happiness. At
that time, when I was 18, I was at my first year of uni, and the thing that brought me the most joy was this sudden, massive independence that I had. And what did I do with that independence? Well, with all of the sophistication of an 18-year-old, I went and got my nose pierced without any parental supervision, and it brought me so much joy that I kept it for nearly
10 years. I've been staying in touch with my friends from high school who are the people that I knew when I was 18. They're the ones who saw me through my most awkward phases and bad decisions, good decisions, a lot of growth, and a lot of them are people I'm still in touch with today, and I think that's not likely to change anytime
soon. Soon I'll be turning 34 years old. When I was 18, what brought me joy was dancing at all ages concerts, going on late night drives, and singing at the top of my lungs inside my car. I used to spend a lot of time hanging out with friends, usually not doing much of anything at all. We were all regulars at this one particularly unimpressive late night coffee shop. We'd frequently go there just to sit around for hours, drink unhealthy blended drinks, smoke cigarettes, and enjoy each other's company. Those were really
great times when I was younger. I remember my 18th birthday, I got to go up into London and be a big kid for the day or the evening. I went to Clapham Grand with my sister and brother and some friends. I remember being very pleased with the disco flushing rainbow dance floor. Looking back at the pictures, I seem to have been pretty pleased with rainbows in general at that time. My outfit was very rainbow influenced. So that's something
I can mention is all the time I spent camping with my family, with my dad. I miss that a lot because a lot of them are gone right now, so it's a lot of good memories and a lot of good times. So it's something that brought me joy back then and continues
to bring me joy. The thing that brought me joy at 18, which it was acting, but what I really liked about that was learning about different people and different ways of thinking through becoming them. And it was wanting this kind of insight into people's intimate and individual thoughts, which made me move from theatre to radio and podcasts as a favourite medium, both to make and
to listen to. These recollections of joy at 18 reminds me of what a magical and formative time it is in one's life, with so much to look forward to. I believe this to be true for radio stations that reach this landmark too. So happy birthday, Resonance.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.